Hi there, welcome to the Neurodivergent Magic Podcast. I'm your host, Megan Griffith, and I am so excited to have you here. On this podcast, we talk about all forms of neurodivergence, from ADHD to learning disorders to giftedness to autism and more. If any of that sounds familiar, welcome to Neurodivergent Magic.
Hello, guys, gals, and non-binary pals, and welcome back to another episode of the Neurodivergent Magic Podcast. We are back, baby. I am back from maternity leave, and today I thought we could just do a chit-chatty, life catch-up podcast episode. I will tell you a little bit about what I've been doing on maternity leave and what it was like having my twins, and we can just chit chat about that. And then the regular neurodivergent focused content will be back next week, I promise. Oh, and I apologize for the audio quality. I am not recording on my fancy microphone. I'm just recording on my laptop because that's what is available to me right now. We will talk about this as well, like how the business is going to look a little different moving forward now that I have two wonderful, beautiful baby girls at home. Okay, so I won't tell you like the entire birth story in excruciating detail or anything like that. But here is the gist of how my twins arrived into the world. Let's see, I was 36 weeks pregnant and we had a scheduled C-section, which I know is probably sounds pretty early to intentionally have a baby. But with the type of twins that they are, it's called mono dye twins. 37 weeks is as late as they let you go, and I was very, very miserable at the end of my pregnancy. So we went ahead and scheduled it for 36 weeks and 2 days. And it went super well. I was definitely a little nervous. This is the most major surgery I've ever had. And I was nervous. But let's be honest, the spinal was really painful. But my pain tolerance is very, very low, which I have a whole episode about that, which you can check out. We'll link it in the show notes. But yeah, the spinal was painful. And I did try to tell them ahead of time, like, hey, anesthesia doesn't always take very well on me for some reason. It probably has to do with my autism. and they were like, well, we kind of just have the standard dose. And if that doesn't work, we'll have to knock you out. And I was like, okay. And the spinal worked, which is great, for the first 40 minutes of the C-section. If you don't know, C-sections typically are about an hour. So the last 20 minutes, the anesthesia definitely started to wear off. It's not like I felt everything. It's not like it stopped working entirely, but oh boy, it was less effective for sure towards the end. And thankfully, the anesthesiologist was able to give me something through the IV that helped a little bit, but that was a less pleasant part of my experience. On a more positive note, I had a birth playlist playing right by my head. I got Spotify Premium for free for the month so that there wouldn't be like ads during my birth experience. But I put together this playlist of really cute like love songs and songs about babies, and it was really, it made the experience pretty cool, actually. Yeah, then my babies were born. Miraculously, they were both over 5 pounds, which is awesome for 36-week twins. And we were in the hospital for a couple of days. They did great. They passed all their tests and everything like that. So we got to go home, and we've been home for a couple of weeks now. And it's just been exhausting and magical, and it's been everything. And honestly, frankly, I feel so much better now than I did while I was pregnant that like, it's honestly a little mind blowing. I knew I was miserable at the end of my pregnancy. I didn't realize quite how miserable until I wasn't pregnant anymore. And I was recovering from major surgery, and they kept asking how I felt. And I was like, honestly, guys, I feel freaking fantastic. Like, I feel so good. And it was just because I wasn't pregnant anymore. Every pregnancy is different. Every person is different. My first pregnancy was a breeze. This pregnancy was not. It was rough. Okay, so maternity leave. Let's talk about what that has been like, because this is the longest break I think I've ever taken in my business. And I'm really, really glad I took it. Absolutely, 100%. But it's definitely been harder than I thought it would be. mostly just because I was like itching to get back to work, and like I had to like physically restrain myself from checking my email all the time and all this stuff. It's really good for me because I am a bit of a workaholic. So taking this break to be with my babies is important to me. I am dedicated to it. And my maternity leave, I think, was a really good decision. And it was definitely tricky and harder than I thought it would be. But we got a lot done over my maternity leave, and my husband had 2 weeks off for paternity leave as well. We got a ton of organizing done in the house. We painted our entryway. We got to snuggle our girls and spend a lot of quality time with our son as well. And it's just been like a really cool time, and it's been nice to not be thinking about work every other second. I've definitely thought about it a lot, but not as much as when I'm, you know, actively working. And so that's been really nice. Oh, and we have been watching a lot of TV because it takes about an hour, a little less, to feed both girls. If one of us is feeding, if we're both feeding, then it's about 25, 30 minutes. But we've been watching a lot of TV while we feed because they eat a lot. They need to eat every 2 or 3 hours because they're very tiny. Their stomachs are like the size of grapes or something like that. So they eat very frequently. So we've been watching a lot of TV, including some of the Star Wars Disney Plus limited series, which, by the way, are incredible. I don't know why no one told me Star Wars was actually good. I feel like a reverse hipster, like, you know, like, oh, I liked it before it was cool. Like, I'm the opposite. I liked it way after everyone else knew it was cool. So now we're watching like the original movies and stuff, because I'm like, well, now I need to see everything. I gotta say, so far, my favorite like series or movie, my favorite of the Star Wars universe so far has been The Clone Wars, the animated series. It is so good, so cute, so moving. Like, I have loved all of it. It's been really interesting and really thought-provoking, frankly. So yeah, that's been awesome.
Hello there, guys, gals, and non-binary pals. I just wanted to interrupt this episode really quick to tell you all about the Neurodivergent Magic Program. This is a program designed to help you cope with executive dysfunction, which is something that almost every neurodivergent person experiences. If you don't know, executive dysfunction is a lot of things, but basically it boils down to you want to do the thing, you are trying to do the thing, and you just can't, and you feel awful. What this program, the Neurodivergent Magic Program, does is it helps you cope with executive dysfunction through a combination of practical and emotional tools. We'll cover body doubling and building momentum, but we'll also talk about the shame that is often deeply rooted in a lot of neurodivergent people because we grew up in a neurotypical society that wasn't accepting of us. And if you're thinking, what in the world does shame have to do with executive dysfunction? Kind of everything. And I would love to teach you about it. So this is a program where the whole goal is to teach you to get shit done in 24 hours or less. So if you are really struggling with your ability to accomplish tasks and to feel good about it, that is what this program is designed to help you with. And I can't wait to see you there. Check out the show notes for the link to join, or send me an email at megan@neurodivergentmagic.com.
On a significantly less awesome note, I think it would be completely inappropriate for me not to address what is going on, what has been going on over my whole maternity leave, really, in Palestine and Israel. So first of all, I just want to say I am a white, non-Jewish, non-Muslim American woman, and I am far and away not the most qualified person to speak on this. That being said, there's a lot of you who listen to this podcast, and I would be absolutely remiss if I didn't use this platform to speak up, I suppose, about what is frankly a genocide and ethnic cleansing happening in Palestine right now. I know it's really, really easy, or maybe not easy, but simple for people in the West, or people just generally far removed from the situation geographically, to distance ourselves emotionally as well. And I think that's something we should try to avoid, because these are our fellow human beings in both Israel and Palestine who are dying. And it's horrific. The whole situation is horrific. Absolutely. And it's really easy to become hopeless, I think, or again, not easy, but simple. And it happens to become hopeless and to feel like we can't do anything. And we just have to watch helplessly as this huge humanitarian crisis unfolds. And to a certain extent, that is true. There isn't always a ton we can do, but there are a couple of things, and I would like to link them in the show notes. So the U.S. Campaign for Palestinian Rights has a call script so that you can call your representatives. They also have an email script if calling is not something you feel comfortable doing or can't do for whatever reason. So I will link both of those below, the call script and the email script, so that you can take action where you can. And I really encourage you to fight the hopelessness, because that is what the oppressors want, because that's how they get us, you know, to effectively be on their side. And just one or two final thoughts on the matter. I think it's important to remember that we are all human, and every human life lost is a tragedy. And I think it's important to note that genocide is always wrong, and ignoring or pretending a genocide isn't happening is also always wrong. And there is no wrong way to resist genocide. So those are some of my thoughts on the matter. Again, I am far from the most qualified to be speaking on this, but I'm also someone who has listeners and has people who take my opinion seriously. And I think with that comes a responsibility to comment on these types of situations. So that is what I am trying to do. I am doing a lot of listening and watching of videos and stuff like that from Palestinians and people actually in Gaza, and trying to keep up with the news outlets that are reporting things and whatnot. But I mean, this is a very deeply complicated situation, and nothing could encapsulate it in one 60-second TikTok. So I'm doing my best to learn and listen. And I encourage you to do the same. Obviously, this is a really heavy topic, and it's not really the mood I want to end this podcast on. So I will share with you one last thing that we have done during my maternity leave. And that was, we went to a pumpkin patch, you guys. It was super fun. We've actually gone to this pumpkin patch, I think every year since my firstborn was little. So we have gone several years in a row, and it's so fun. So we went, we picked a pumpkin. He was adorable. We didn't take the girls, the twins, because they're just too little to be around people right now. They have no fat. They have no protection from germs. So they stayed home with my parents, but we went to this pumpkin patch, and my oldest, he saw a pumpkin he liked right away. And we kept trying to be like, well, what about this pumpkin? What about this pumpkin? He's like, no, I got my pumpkin, you guys. Like, it was really cute. So he picked out his pumpkin. We did the corn maze, which was actually shockingly difficult. Granted, I have no sense of direction whatsoever, so all mazes are difficult for me. But my husband has a very good sense of direction, and it still definitely took us a little longer to get out than we thought it would. So it was a little more difficult, a little more tricky than we thought it would be. So we did that. What else did we do at the pumpkin patch? I think that's really, that's all we had time for. Oh, they have goats as well. So my kiddo got to see some goats and pet some goats, and he thought that was very neat. So we had a really wonderful time doing that. And I love fall activities like that. I just think they're so fun. I really like the fall. It's when my energy is at its highest. I think the summer is too hot and it dampens my energy. The winter is too dark, and spring, actually, I have some pretty high energy as well, but fall is, I know it sounds basic. I sound like a basic bitch, but fall is my favorite season. I used to think it was summer, but I think that was just because it was time off school. And now that I don't have that, it's kind of like, no, summer's really hot and sweaty and uncomfortable. Which sounds really whiny and adult. Like, it's sad for me to be like, oh, I'm not a kid anymore, because I don't like love summer. So that's a little sad, but whatever. Regardless, fall is amazing. It's beautiful here. I'm from Ohio, and the fall foliage is just freaking gorgeous. And fall activities like going to a pumpkin patch are super fun to me. So yeah. All right. I think that about sums up my maternity leave. Honestly, like, the girls are happy and healthy. I am happy and healthy. I'm recovering super well from my C-section. I've had very little pain. I consider myself unbelievably fortunate. And yeah, I think that's everything that I wanted to say upon my return. I'm so happy to be back. And if you all have any requested episodes or any requested interview guests or anything like that, please, please, please just message me on Instagram. I would love to take your requests. So yeah, I think that's it. And I will talk to you all again next Saturday.
As always, thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed the show, make sure you give us a follow over on Spotify, leave a review over on Apple Podcasts, and tune in next Saturday for another amazing episode.